All right, folks, welcome to ninoscorner.tv. I am with Ashley Carr with Because We Matter Exotic Animal Rescue. Now, this is something very close to my heart, and I've been wanting to do, we've been trying to nail this interview down for the last month, and schedules conflicted. So, Ashley, just thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be a fun and very educational interview. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Folks, stick around for this. This is going to be so educational, and we got to give Ashley Carr some support and some help here. First, the Fire Pit Mini, folks. The Fire Pit Mini. I don't like to camp. I have my reasons why I don't like to camp. But if I needed to start a fire, now I can do it with the Fire Pit Mini because I wasn't able to do it before. But shockingly, the average person believes they could survive for 2 weeks alone in the wilderness. But a new study reveals most could even spark a fire. The survey of 2,000 Americans shows only 17% felt very confident in their ability to start a fire with just flint. That's why tens of thousands rely on the Fire Pit Mini to start fires outdoors. The Fire Pit Mini stove grants anybody the ability to start fires, boil water, and cook food from virtually anywhere with only kindling leaves as fuel. It's engineered to give you a reliable, effective, and simple way to start a robust fire with little smoke in any condition and without the hassle. Give the gift of warmth, folks, this season by using the promo code HOLIDAY and get 25% off. Get the Fire Pit Mini, folks. It's down there in the link below. Get started on it. And learn how to start a fire. Like I'm going to put this to the test. I'm going to be putting this to the test real soon. My buddy's coming down, and he's all, no, I know how to start a fire with just flint. I could just start. I'm like, all right, well, you do you, and I'll do me with this, and then we'll see who starts a fire first. Anyway, Ashley.
Yeah.
Wow, what are you standing next to right there? Those are two beautiful dogs, but they're wolves.
Thank
correct?
You. So these are wolf dogs. They're high-content wolf dogs. This is Kakoa. She's my oldest girl out here. She's going to be 15 years old this year. Here comes Max running down here. This is Max. He is a 10, soon-to-be 11-year-old gray wolf dog. But these guys are high-content. So,
what do you mean high-content?
So high-content is usually 85% or above in the wolf DNA.
So a normal person couldn't have these as pets.
Well, depending on what state you live in, actually, some people do have high contents as a pet. We don't encourage it. We actually encourage you not to have them. But we, due to conservation efforts, to be able to keep these animals alive, we have to have high contents in captivity to, you know, just in case anything happens, which is what we're doing right now with the reintroduction programs and things that we're doing. So
are those the only two
wolves
you
have?
These
guys aren't your normal.
Are those
I have 15 out here.
You have 15 wolves.
15 wolf dogs, yep.
And you cannot introduce them back into the wild?
No, so when an animal is captive bred and born, they cannot legally be reintroduced into the wild unless they've actually gone through a reintroduction program. So these guys haven't. These are just ambassadors to the species. So this is Maxwell. And they just get to educate people why wolves are essential and why we do need them in the ecosystem.
So you have wolf education, what, classes or courses, or am I wrong in saying that?
No, so actually, believe it or not, we actually do virtual education for children. That's actually my passion. We go into schools and we do virtual field trips that we get to teach kids how they actually play that vital role. I just taught kids in Iowa about wolf genetics. So we get to be a part of that. And we get to teach them about other species also.
So you're an exotic animal rescue. How'd you even get started in this? Like, what led you to this?
So believe it or not, my dad brought home an alligator when I was 12 years old. And for the last 25 years, I've been working with exotic animals. So kind of brought into it, actually, and just really good at it. And
Have you always lived in Washington, or did you seek out Washington because you're able to have an exotic animal rescue there?
Born and raised in Washington, and actually it wasn't illegal to have certain animals until 2007 here in Washington. But I've been here my whole life in Anacortes.
So it's illegal to have these animals?
It's illegal to have, well, it depends on what county that you're in. So Washington State wolves, like purebred wolves, are illegal to own unless you are, you know, a sanctuary or certified to be able to own them. But wolf dogs actually are not considered potentially dangerous. So you can own those in some counties within the state of Washington. But Skagit County, unfortunately, in 2014, passed a law that they actually added wolf dogs and foxes and things that we had at our compound to the potentially dangerous animal list in the county. So they actually changed the ordinance that only affected our organization.
So are you grandfathered in at all, or is this really?
No.
So no, we're not. Your whole rescue now is in jeopardy.
Yes and no. So we actually fall under the exemption. So because we are a wildlife sanctuary and we also take in animals on written consent of animal control, we do fall under the exceptions to be able to own these animals here. So working with those government agencies actually does exempt us. So we don't own them illegally right now. We actually, the whole reason that we are going through a permitting process with Skagit County is only to allow us to do our educational tours on site. That's it. It's not for owning the animals. It's just for the tours.
So your wolf dogs there, do they have to be wolf dogs? Can you have a purebred wolf there?
If I got a purebred wolf that was signed over by a government agency, I could. Yes, I could own them.
Explain that. It's signed over by a government agency.
So if animal control, let's say that they went in and they did a confiscation, a lot of times there's hoarding situations or things like that. They will call us and they'll say, hey, we have this rescue. We need these animals to be placed somewhere. Can they come to you? So we'll either hold them for evidence for them for a while, or we'll actually take them over and take on the responsibility of them and just give them a forever home. Because if organizations don't do that, they will be euthanized. So we give them that forever home so that doesn't have to happen.
So if they were ever to take your dogs away from you, these dogs here, they would be euthanized.
We would find homes for who we could, but a lot of times, unfortunately, so like I have geriatric patients, right? So I have this 14-year-old wolf dog that would not transfer to another sanctuary well and actually could die in transport. And so we would have to make the hard decision of who could make that transport and who couldn't. And so we would have to put some animals down. And depending on if animal control were to come in and actually do a confiscation because of some law being broken, they actually do have the right to come in and euthanize on site. So
euthanize on site.
It just all depends.
So right now,
so they can bring their own vet out here.
So right now you are in a legal battle, correct? Like right now people are trying to shut you down.
Yes. Yeah. So Skagit County is just trying to have us get that permit, which has taken 2 years. So we've had no income for 2 years. It's only our donors that have been keeping us alive. And then in June, so that happened in February was our last day that we could do tours. And so our revenue stopped February of 2021. And then our neighbors, 6 months later in June or July, they actually decided to sue us saying that the wolves howling is a nuisance. And in my opinion, to kind of drain the money quicker. And we've been in litigation with them since then. And it's still going with no pending trial.
Your neighbors want you gone.
They do. My neighbor, actually, he's a very wealthy businessman. He lives a mile and a half away from our compound. And he is hired one of the biggest firms in the state of Washington to try to get us gone.
Like gone. You're saying all the animals and you off the property?
Yes.
Or all just the wolves? Or just the wolves?
He wants the whole sanctuary shut down. He claimed in his claim that we bring down his property values. So he owns about 100 acres.
Could you be
us.
A health hazard? Is there any kind of claim like that? Or is it just...
No, so the... Go ahead.
Well, is it a noise? I mean, he can't stand the howling at night. He can't sleep. What are his complaints?
Well, in the lawsuit, it actually says that he is complaining. They're complaining because they say the noise, the wolves howling or the animal noises is a nuisance out here. But we've been on this property for 21 years. Like, we didn't just move in. We've been here established for 21 years. 22, actually, just this last November. So
how long has he been on the been your neighbor?
23 years.
Okay.
So, well, he's been out here 23 years. So he came out here the year before us. But he, like I said, he lives a mile and a half away. But in our hearing that we had with the county, he specifically said under oath that he can't even hear the wolves howling from his house. And the only way that he hears them is if he has a window open and it's nighttime and then he can faintly hear them. And our other neighbors actually claimed under oath also that the wolf howling does not bother them. So...
Interesting. I'll be honest with you. I hear coyotes out here all the time, and I love it. It puts me to sleep. I love the sound
of
that.
So do we.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love
we
it.
Do too. Yeah, we do too. And as you can see, you'll probably see through this. I'll get them to howl for you one time, but I have to start the howl. They rarely howl out here, actually. We maybe get maybe 4 to 5 howls, and that's a busy day, and that's because a siren has gone off or something like that. And so it's not, they don't howl just to howl. They howl because it's triggered somehow.
I
so
used to
it's
own
a
a
roll call.
rooster. I used to own a rooster, and I'll tell you what, that was annoying. It woke up, and I owned them. I owned the rooster, okay? I owned the rooster in the city in my neighborhood, and that son of a bitch would wake up everybody every morning at 5 in the morning. You would, it was a horrible, horrible sound, and my neighbors were pissed.
Funny. Well, my neighbors actually own chickens and roosters, so we also get to hear that lovely noise in the morning, and it's not just one, it's several. So,
Wow, I this
the,
is
yeah.
well. Let me hear him howl. Let's see you do it. Let's see you work your magic.
Okay, let me. I'm gonna mute you just for a second. So, well, actually, let me take. I'm trying to think. I don't want to like scream in your ear. So, can you just mute me for 1 second, and then when they start
Well,
howling, take me
I
off?
don't know how to mute you, but I can mute.
No, no.
Yeah, I can mute you.
Sorry, my camera guy is. Sorry.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
This is cool.
I don't know if you're able to hear him.
It's not really picking up. I can't really hear it.
You can't hear it. I can take you out of my headset before we take off and start a howl, because I have you in my ears. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. I mean, you got an A for effort. It was pretty cool.
Thank you.
But
Oh, that is
no,
good.
this is so what other animals do you have on this reserve, this rescue?
So we have everything. We have over 54 different species now out here. We have everything from ferrets, chinchillas, marmosets, which are monkeys, to sloths, to giant anteaters, to alligators. We did a drug bust. We had alligators that were protecting cocaine down in Seattle. And they actually went in with the FBI, seized them, and they came to our facility to live out the rest of their life. So
So
we'll head down here.
You can't have people come and like see your animals and charge them to walk around and like a petting zoo or like just, I mean, you can't, you're not allowed to conduct that kind of business or what?
We did for 6 years, and then they shut us down. That was our main source of income. We were the
Got
number
you.
one experience Airbnb. Yeah, so we did Airbnb experiences, two tours twice a day, 10 people, and we got shut down 6 years later. And now we've been working on permits, and they're saying that most likely we'll never be able to reopen again. So we're having to figure out new ways to bring in income. You can come this way.
Wow, so it sounds to me like they're on a mission to shut you down and take you out of there.
They are. They definitely are. This has kind of been an ongoing thing since 2014, but it's getting more serious now. So we even rescue ducks.
Oh my gosh. I mean, where would these animals go if it wasn't for your rescue? They'd be put down, they'd be...
Yeah, so a lot of them actually came to us, like I said, from government officials. So I'll go introduce you to a couple that have come in. The alligators came in from animal control, and all these guys came in from animal control too, which we'll show you. But they would have either been euthanized or they would have had been transferred to out of state. But a lot of sanctuaries are full, so we're one of the only sanctuaries in Skagit County area that actually does what we do. So these are here. We got these little guys. Hi, good morning.
Oh my gosh.
They couldn't. Hi. Hello.
How smart are raccoons?
Too smart. They can be put anywhere in the world and be perfectly fine and survive. It's unbelievable.
Hey, buddy. What's his name or her name?
This one is Percy.
Percy.
So we have
hey,
Rock,
Percy.
We have Rocket, Percy, Apollo, and Miko in here.
Oh my
and I
gosh.
We have, let's see if I can get Squeakers to come down. So we have a Kota Monday, also known as a Kawadi. We just got another one in as a rescue, too. He came from a massive neglect case. We'll see if we can get him to come down. I have to go in there or else he won't come down. He's actually in a heated box up there. There he comes. So this is a Dakota Monday, also known as a coati. They're related to the raccoon family. And he came to us because his
Oh, I
owner
see.
could no longer keep him, and so animal control turned him over to us.
Hey, buddy. Oh my gosh.
Here,
See, I'm
what
this
are
is very
you
close
doing?
to my heart, and I'll tell you why. I just rescued a kitten on the there was in traffic on the street in a ball. Cars were going over it, they were running over it, tires were barely missing it, and I didn't want a cat. I never pictured myself to be a cat owner. I made a U-turn in busy traffic, scooped him up like a shortstop, threw him in my car, and he's been with me now 6 months, and he's awesome. I love this little guy. I'm a cat owner now. I never th would have thought in a million years you couldn't have given me a cat, but I'm not going to let a cat get run over. So this is very
I
close to
understand
my
that.
heart. This is very what you're doing, man. You deserve an award for this. This is like something that's so close to my heart, and I'm going to tell everybody you have got to donate to her. Donate to
Thank you.
her rescue, and I'll put that down below. But let me see some more animals. I'm loving this. I feel like I'm
Okay.
in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood when you used to go visit the zoo as a kid.
So this is actually one of the rarest species I probably will ever work with in my entire life. This came to us through a confiscation with a whole bunch of sloths. This is his hot box, so he gets to come out if he wants to, but he has to stay warm. This is Salvador. He is a giant anteater. Hi, buddy. He's actually oddly probably one of the most dangerous animals we have out here.
Dangerous.
So if he stands up, let's see if I get him to stand for you. He's too relaxed. He's too
Why is
relaxed.
he
Are you
dangerous? I would have
too?
never
He has
pictured
these
it.
huge claws.
Oh, okay. But are they aggressive? Are anteaters
So he
aggressive?
actually has, they can be. So he does get kind of hangry at times, and he will go on rampages if he hears a really weird noise or something like that. But this is been such a cool species for me to be able to work with. Their tongue is 2.5 foot long. They're one of the only animals that can defend themselves from a jaguar. So he'll actually rear up and he can grab the inside of your leg and rip open your arteries.
What?
You show your claws? So right there. Yep. That's how zookeepers have actually passed away. But I actually have created quite a special bond with Salvador. We've become quite buddies. There's that tongue. Hi. Oh, do you got? That's gross. Yeah.
Kind of looks
He
like one
loves
of my,
shoes.
he looks like one of
I
my
don't know.
friends.
He's really, really cool.
No, this is so cool.
He loves shoes. So he puts his tongue all the way down my boot and actually goes all the way to my toes because of that tongue. They
Wow.
eat
So
about they
I noticed you haven't mentioned anything about lions or tigers.
I have cougars.
Cougars, like, okay.
So we don't really take in lions and tigers. My rule of thumb is that I won't take in anything that I can't properly provide for the best life possible. And I'm just not at this time set up to take any of those in. So, and that
So
doesn't
a
mean that in the
cougar,
future we can't.
what would be a cougar, like a mountain lion?
Cougar, puma, or mountain lion, all the same thing. And we have the ones that we have here, we have one that's 18 years old, we have and two that are 16 years old. So,
I mean, a mountain lion, those are pretty big.
they are big. They're actually stronger than a lion or a tiger pound for pound because they have incidental strength. So
What?
we'll head
I've
over
never
that way.
known that. I never knew that.
Yeah, so they can actually take like a 1,000 pound elk and drag it up a hill because of that strength. There's nothing more powerful than that. I had my girls, which were Savannah and Sydney, they passed away a couple of years ago. They were about 16 years old. And they would, when they pulled you into them, it was just the most amazing thing. We would go in and they snuggle you and love all over you and really remarkable creatures. So
Wow.
we're
Okay.
going
So
back here.
I never knew that. So are you, if, wow. So a mountain lion can drag an elk up a tree, an elk
Up a hill.
up a hill.
Yeah. So we're going in here right now. I got the door. There you go.
And this, what are we
Right
about to
here.
look at right now?
This is boy and girl. So this is our boy, our male cougar, and our female cougar. She is spayed, so no babies.
They're just chilling.
Yep. They're
Yeah,
old.
can you zoom in? Could you zoom in again?
Yeah, zoom in on her.
Oh, wow. How beautiful.
Isn't she great?
Yeah, how
So these
beautiful.
are, so this is our old girl. So you brought up like health and safety things or health conditions. Believe it or not, our cougars actually do use litter boxes. So we go in there and we scoop their litter box every single day. So there's no worry. We dispose of all of our stuff
You feel
properly.
safe walking in there with them?
I do. I do. I don't usually do it very often because these guys aren't too fond of people. But my other two girls that I had, Savannah and Sydney, I worked very closely with. I actually raised those ones, so I worked exclusively with them. These guys don't know me as well, so it's a lot more cautious.
You don't
And they're very old too, so.
take in bears? What about bears?
No, this is about as big as we get right now. If we were able to, you know, expand and go into a bigger facility, we could get set up for them. I don't mind working with them. One of my colleagues here, one of my staff members, she actually trained with grizzly bears in college. So that's one of her big passions. So if we were set up to take one correctly, we would if it needed help. But we're not just going to take in a bear unless it like would need a place to actually go. So
how many people are offering you, or how many organizations are offering you animals? Like, how many do you take in a month? How many do you take in a year? Like, how does this even work? Like, do you get calls every day to take in an animal?
I get calls probably I get at least 2 to 3 a week from either private owners or from a government authority. I got called to, hopefully they wanted me to fly down to Texas to do a wolf dog rescue of 80 wolf dogs, but we were going through all this litigation and we didn't even know if we'd still be in business. So I couldn't help with that. I get at least 100 phone calls a year for wolf dogs alone. And then we just got a water monitor in, we just got an alligator in, we just got 2 ferrets in. So this year alone, we've taken in about 10 animals or so. But you know, I would love to be able to help more. It's just, we're down to a staff of 3. We were a staff of 7, and now it's just 3 of us working 6 days a week trying to keep up with everything.
So you said wolf dogs. Those seem to be, are those a pretty big problem? Do people buy these dogs and then don't want them anymore?
You know,
why are wolf dogs so prevalent?
You know what? It's just the stereotype that we've put on them. You know, just like you see a lot of German shepherds and pit bulls and stuff in rescues when they're fantastic, right? They're amazing creatures. And what happens is people get something without doing their research and they go, this is a lot more than I thought it was going to be. I can't handle it. Or they'll, laws and regulations will actually change where they're living and they will be forced to get rid of their animal, which is what happened to our bobcat. So he legally owned it. They came in, they changed the laws and regulations, and he was forced to get rid of it and bring it to our sanctuary. This is Maurice. He'll fly right towards you.
Oh, it's a buzzard.
Yep, a yellow-headed vulture.
Vulture. Well, it's the same thing, right? Is a buzzard a vulture, or am I completely off there?
Somewhat. He's a little bit different because this is actually one from South America. So he's not native to this area. We usually see turkey vultures around here is the biggest thing that we see. Buzzards, there's a different category for them. Like, we had an African auger buzzard, which is actually like the Seattle Seahawks mascot at one point. It looks more like a red-tailed hawk.
So the reason buzzards don't have feathers on their head is so they could dig in and take the meat right inside the carcass.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they do it so they can actually stay clean, because they can't clean their head well, and so that they're made to do that. These guys can eat anything, disease, decaying, and be perfectly fine. They don't transmit it. They're like the janitors of the world. They're super important.
Yeah, very important for the ecosystem.
Yeah, extremely important. But yeah, we have a lot out here, a lot of different mouths to feed. We go through about 6,000 pounds of meat a month. We go through about 1,200 pounds of produce, and they all have different diets.
What does that cost you? What does that cost you a month, if you don't mind me asking?
So we're, no, not at all. We're fortunately, one of our biggest sponsors, believe it or not, is Walmart. Walmart actually gives us all of their throwaway meat. So we can get anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 pounds a month from Walmart's throwaway meat. So they do it to Feeding America first, and then whatever they can't use, they give to us. So we spend about $20,000 a year on meat. So
$20,000
right
a year on meat. So, and this is also why donations are just so important, correct?
This is, yes. And so our operations cost $50,000 a month to operate. That's for gas, that's for food, that's for water, it's for power, it's for veterinarian needs, it's for all of that.
Oh,
So
that's
this is Jinx,
beautiful.
he's a bobcat.
Wow.
And this is that one I was telling you about that he had a really fantastic owner, believe it or not, and they changed the laws and regulations where he resided, and he had to get rid of them or else they're going to come in and euthanize him. And he's
Just
just a
like
love
that.
bug.
Just like that. Damn.
Just like that. Which is what they tried doing to us in 2014, but we fell under the exemptions because of what we do. So we were fortunate enough to be able to continue going.
So right now you're in a legal battle with not the county, but your neighbors, correct?
Yes, the county is just for us to get a permit to be able to do our main source of income, but the legal battle is with the neighbors.
So the county, is it, are they making it really hard for you to get the permit?
They have thus far. I'm on my second appeal. They said they denied the first one because they said that they don't feel that we are actually a sanctuary.
Well, this is proof
So,
right here. What I'm looking at right now is a sanctuary. Anybody that takes their time out to care for animals and has a setup you have, that's a sanctuary.
yeah, and we've actually had other sanctuaries come here and be in support of our sanctuary. So we've had a couple cat sanctuaries come out, and they've actually donated. We had one lady come out on our tour, and she said, "You guys are doing such a great job," and she donated $500 that day after the tour because, you know, so. They're claiming that we're not a sanctuary because our wolf dogs, as the ones that we have here currently, have not been rescued. They actually came in from the previous president. But, you know, we're trying to change that. And technically, I take it that I saved them from the previous president, to be quite honest, which is my dad. So I lost a relationship with my dad to save these animals. And so we're, you know, we're working hard to change minds and let people know that this is what I do. This is how I function. And my priority is these animals. I love them so much so that, like I said, I lost relationship with my dad.
But this is a full-time, I'm sorry to hear that, but this is a full-time job for you. This is what you do all day, every day, 7 days a week.
I work 80 hours a week. Yeah. Right now.
Wow.
God
bless
and
you.
That's
This
a
is
lot of,
this is huge. This is such a, man, I mean, really, this is something that's so close to my heart. That's why I really wanted to do this interview with you. I'm so happy we're doing it now.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. I just hope people can see it and see what I want to do and hear my plans and allow me one day to maybe come virtually to their kids' school and educate their kids why animals are important, which is my
So,
ultimate goal.
are you looking to expand? I mean, I guess you can't do anything right now until this litigation is over, right?
Correct. It has seized all of my grant opportunities. It has put such a damper on things. They've said false things on the news. They've been posting false things on like with other organizations that are anti-animal, like advocate stuff. And so they've been trying to kind of put me through the ringer, but we're still here. So we go live almost every day on Facebook and TikTok, you know, and we try to show people what we do and why we do it and, you know, hopefully change that so they do understand what we do. But we have a lot to take care of out here, so.
So this is a completely type of a different type of operation than the Tiger King.
Yes, yeah, for sure. I would have loved to have been able to go help relocate all those animals.
I'm
would have been
expecting
great.
To see somebody that looks like that dude just walk by right now.
it's so sad because it's like because of that, it actually put a really bad look on sanctuaries, and we've really had to fight to come back from that. It's done a lot of
I
damage.
Bet.
This is one of my favorite animals in the entire world, believe it or not. Not most people's favorite, but he's not in there. Let me go here. So they get fun stuff from our people who watch us. They send in stuff and toys and enrichment for our animals. He's going to be under here. Hi, buddy.
Is that a possum?
This is a possum. It is.
Why is he your
favorite? One of my favorite
I see.
animals.
Those are everywhere, aren't they? I mean, they're all over East Texas. I know that.
Yeah, so because they're so misunderstood, that's why I love them. They have so much going for them, but they only live 1 to 2 years in the wild, 3 to 4 in captivity. They're the only marsupial in the United States, which means they have a pouch to carry their babies.
Hold
they
on,
have a prehensile tail.
That animal only lives 2 to 4 years, that's it, and dies?
1 to 2 in the wild, 3 to 4 in captivity.
Why do they have such short lifespans?
Science does not know. They've been studying it. They say they should live to about 15, but they don't do it. They don't carry rabies. They can get it if something goes wrong, but 1 to 2 reported cases a year. They have 50 sharp teeth. They have their little feet are the cutest things you'll ever see here. They have opposable thumbs like you and I.
Wow. So what do they usually die from? That's old age to them is 4 years old.
That's old age. The oldest living possum I've had out here is 4 and a half.
How old is that
so,
one?
So this one is only, he'll be 2 this year.
He ain't got
this
much
is Frank
longer to go, buddy.
He doesn't, and it's super sad, but they're so cool. And these are janitors. They go in through and they eat everything. They eat disease, decayed. They can be bit by a rattlesnake and be perfectly fine. They're fighters, and it's just like they're so cool to me. They're just the most remarkable creature,
How
right?
long does it, how long
Yeah.
does a raccoon live?
They can live up to 15 in captivity, but usually in the wild about 2 to 5.
Man,
Look at
unforgiving.
those sharp flippers. It
Nature,
is,
huh?
yeah. Nature is hard. It's hard.
I
You
mean, you
know,
would think that little guy would live to be at least 15, 20 years, but no, 2 to 4 years, that's it. That's incredible. Wow. I'm
yeah,
learning a
and
lot
these
here.
guys eat way better than we do.
So
They had, like, this
before
morning he
this
had
litigation
13.
process, before this whole thing with the litigation, all that, you used to have, did you have to, did you used to have like schools come in with kids and you would show them around? Is that what would...
No, we signed up for Airbnb experiences, and within 2 weeks we went number one in Seattle. 2 months later we were number one globally, and for the first time ever our organization was debt free after 6 months. We've always been about $100,000 in debt since the day that my dad started it, and Airbnb gave us our break. We had people coming from Singapore, Australia, all over the world to come to our experience, and we had just 20 people a day, but two small groups of 10 that had an escorted tour through our facility. We brought in over like $1.5 million to our local businesses and hotels here, and all that's been taken away.
And is that when
So
the neighbor
it's been pretty
decided?
discouraging. And I, yeah.
Is that when the neighbor decided to come after you?
He came after me. We got shut down. Our last was in February, and then he came after in June. Beginning of July, end of June, he served us with a nuisance lawsuit.
He sounds like the Grinch.
So, but the county, yeah. Well, he also, unfortunately, he also started like a slanderous website against our organization in 2014. He put a picture of my 18-month-old son on it. There's been a lot of history there, and I think that he thought that this was the opportunity now that our revenue had, in my opinion, that had been taken away, that it was a way to finally get us gone. But we offered to settle, but it was pretty much like, nope.
No, he
I'll
wants
just
you
run
out
you
of
out
there.
kind
He
of
wants you
thing.
gone. He's going
So,
for the kill.
yeah, and he owns about 100 acres above us or so, and has a really nice house up on the hill. And if he were to get our property, it would allow him to, develop if that's the way he decided to go. So,
oh, this makes me sick.
We'll see what happens.
So
yeah.
where can
so we
what
did
is
try
your
moving though we tried moving.
What is your website and where can people go to donate to you?
So our website is becausewematter.org. We also have a business card that is linked to our website that shows all the different ways people can help, whether it's following us on social media, whether it's sending in gifts and enrichment to our animals, donation. You can symbolically adopt an animal, which is fantastic. We've had some luck with that. We have a gift shop. So all that kind of stuff contributes, and all the money that comes into our nonprofit all goes in.
Why
to
don't do
the
you
care
have
of
a
these
YouTube
animals.
channel?
We do. It's Because We Matter Rescue.
Because We Matter Rescue is your YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
Can you send me that link to my text?
Yeah, I can. Absolutely.
Okay, so it's becausewematter.org and they can donate there.
Mm-hmm.
And they can adopt an animal basically or symbolically own an animal.
So they can either symbolically adopt, which is monthly, or they can just do a one-time donation. Or we are on Patreon, where we do exclusive stuff for people. I have animals that nobody else sees but Patreon. So that's another way. That's a monthly contribution too, anywhere from $5 to $250. Like our $250 tiers actually get artwork that we send them that the animals make, kind of thing. So we have a lot of different ways for people to give to the organization.
You know, I've seen elephants paint. Have you seen this? That's incredible. I mean, I mean,
Yeah, our
animals are
wolf
just
dogs paint.
what with their paws? They just put a paw print or what?
No, so what they do is we actually line their main platforms with tempered paint, which is completely safe for them, and paper, and they love the smell of it. So they'll actually roll in it, and then they'll walk over the canvases, and they'll roll on the canvases, and they'll just create their own piece of artwork.
Oh
So it's
man,
all on their terms. Yeah,
that is
we have
so
videos of it
awesome.
on our stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Well, God bless you. And I really hope you guys get through this. I mean, I can't believe people, man. It makes me sick that people are like that. I'm just so happy I was able to do this interview. Folks, it's because we matter, becausewematter.org. And go there, make a donation, adopt an animal, really help Ashley get back on her feet with this. This is a huge contribution to wildlife, to the rescue. So I really appreciate you coming on, Ashley. This has been amazing. And man, I would love to adopt a wolf dog. I don't know what the ordinances are here, but I mean, how long do the wolf dogs live? How long does their lifespan? Is it like a normal dog, like 10 to 15 years, I guess?
They can actually live up to 18. So the oldest living wolf dog has been 18 and a half. So they can live a very long life, and they're very different than like other dogs. And it's just, but if that's any breed that you get, they all have their special quirks.
How big do
So
they get?
My biggest wolf dog is Zeus. He's 135, but I would say that normal is about 65 to about 100, 110.
So like a large
So, but
German Shepherd.
double the size of a German Shepherd. Yeah.
Wow. Ashley, thank you so much for coming on Eno's Corner. I'm going to put this up today. I'm going to put this up tonight. So let me get
Thank
on
you.
it. Please update me. I'd like to know what's going on with your case, the litigation, the whole thing. Let's update my audience. I know they're going to want to see more of you. I want to see more of you. So, and I want to help out as much as I can.
Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. Every little bit helps, so we greatly appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Ashley. God
So,
bless you.
thank you. You too. Thank you.
Bye.